think that when we were there, it was clear that there's a lot that needs to be discussed. But the committee will invite you once it has provided, has adopted the report, to have a discussion with you. On that note, I would like to invite you to introduce your big delegation. And address us on the fourth quarter.
Thank you. spending relative to outcomes and the service delivery achievements of departments is an important part of what we have to do. You see in the summary reviews, we have added for several functions some non-financial performance related information. I think we're making progress in developing better indicators of service delivery, although there's certainly still a lot more that can be done in that respect. So to summarize the expenditure outcome, the first slide summarizes the deviation, and there you can see how as a percentage of spending there are a few things that stand out that need to be explained. There was a bit of over expenditure on the presidency vote, which is being dealt with currently through the SOBA process. Parliament is a different case from other votes, and so although overspending is unauthorized in terms of the PFMA in respect of ordinary votes, that is not the case in respect of Parliament here, because Parliament retains its surplus funds and has accumulated surplus funds over previous years. So although that looks like rather a large over expenditure relative to available budget, that's not what actually happened in Parliament's books. There was some drawdown on the available funds from previous years that were in the bank accounts of Parliament, and we're simply measuring that spending relative to the appropriation.
Sorry, Mr. This one looks like Mr. Donald Trump's trading, because we don't have the benefit of a screen.
Yes,
when you say one, you mean
first page.
One page, the first
page. One. I'm looking at the slide that's headed expenditure outcome. And then we have some over expenditures reported here in home affairs. That's the second bar that is above the line. And then you can also see how women, children, people with disabilities have had 2 years of unauthorized over expenditure, but that number is coming down. In respect of underspending relative to votes, the vote that stands out is communications, but there's some underspending relative to these appropriations in the economic development vote, and statistics, South Africa, arts and culture, basic education, and water affairs, and one or two other votes, correction services. So as a percentage of appropriations, those deviations are shown in the first slide, and if I go on to the next slide, the third slide, those deviations are shown in RAND values, which in some ways is the more important picture, and I'm just going to concentrate on a few things there. Cooperative governance and traditional affairs, quite a large level of underspending, and I'll say something about that in a moment. Public works, national treasury, basic education, social development, and police and water affairs are the votes where there are significant levels of underspending. And then the next slide, which shows for government as a whole, for 2011-12, an actual expenditure outcome of just under 500 billion versus the available appropriation of 510.9 billion. So 98% expenditure, which is broadly the same level of spending relative to appropriation as in the previous year, where you can see the numbers 466 billion and 457 billion in 2010-11. This aggregate of about 500 billion in spending is about half of consolidated government spending. So this excludes provincial spending. This is national departments only. And for the purposes of the appropriation, these are the appropriated amounts only, not the direct charges. So statutory appropriations, including servicing government debt, the equitable share those are what we call direct charges, and those are not part of the appropriation. So that's what this aggregate of 500 million refers to. 2.5 billion in underspending in national treasury, 2 billion in underspending on the corporate governance vote, just over 1 billion in basic education, 1 billion in social development, and you can see the numbers also for water affairs, public works. So we're just highlighting significant deviations here, although you will see that in all cases, over 90% of spending is allocated, is spent, and there are explanations of the breakdown of deviations from budgets in more detail for each vote available. I think the next slide is really the most important picture of spending and the breakdown of spending, because it shows the share of spending that goes to compensation of employees, goods and services, transfers and subsidies. And 143 billion out of 147 billion on current payments, of which about two-thirds is compensation of employees. Compensation of employees is more or less fully spent, so you can see there quite accurate budgeting and quite an accurate outcome relative to the initial budget, 93 billion versus a budget of 93.6 billion for compensation of employees. That's just under, or just over a quarter of the total remuneration costs to government. So it's important to bear in mind here that the larger share of remuneration of government employees is on provincial budgets. Goods and services, about 50 billion, so some underspending there. Transfers and subsidies, though, is the biggest part of national spending. So transfers and subsidies are 340 billion. This includes conditional grants to provinces, and it includes the equitable share of about 30 billion that goes to municipalities and conditional grants to municipalities. So the largest items here, the 340 billion, the largest items there are transfers to provinces and municipalities. And remember that the equitable share transfer to provinces is in addition to these transfers which are appropriated on national votes. Other transfers that are significant include transfers to universities and technicons on higher education vote, transfers to many public entities that provide services on behalf of government, the Revenue Service, the National Roads Agency, and various regulatory bodies, CASA, the Energy Regulator, and so on. Those are all agencies of government that are funded through transfers. And again, it's important to recognize that compensation of employees, for purposes of this report, does not include the employees of Revenue Service or TANRA or other agencies. If we were to put a consolidated table together, there would be about another 15 or 20 billion in compensation of employees that is on the books of public entities. Capital spending is still, this year has lagged behind budget allocations, whereas last year, in fact, the number was a little higher than the budget allocation. So 11.8 billion out of 14 billion. So the national government is not doing very well on its capital spending allocations. Although, again, it's important to remember that far the larger part of capital spending is not done by departments themselves at the national level. A larger share of capital spending is on the budgets of the National Roads Agency and other entities, the TPA in respect of water affairs, and a still larger share of capital spending is the responsibility of provinces. Payments for financial assets, you can see there, 20 billion the previous year and down to 1 billion this year. These are financial transfers, and so the 20 billion in the previous year was the last installment to Eskom that fell away. There has been no large capital transfer to Eskom or to the development finance institutions this year. I think I'm speaking on the correction, but I think that that's the most the, summary slide, and it just highlights what seems to me to be the big numbers that that you need to bear in mind as a sort of picture of the expenditure outcome for 2011-12. Compensation of employees, more or less 100% spent, and it's a 10%, 9.9% increase over the previous year. And you'll remember that in the last two or three years, that increase from year to year has been rather higher, so there has been a bit of moderation in the level of increase in compensation of employees. Goods and services, just over half the level of spending on compensation of employees, so that's an interesting balance in between spending on goods and services and remuneration of employees. That's quite a high ratio of remuneration of employees at the national level relative to goods and services, and it's a 12%, a slightly faster increase in spending on goods and services, which is probably healthy. Transfers and subsidies grows quite strongly, a 16% increase over the previous year, with some strong increases for capital spending projects of public entities and provinces and municipalities in particular. So municipal transfers growing quite strongly, but also transfers to for roads and water functions. And then capital spending, and as I indicated, the underspending in respect of capital allocations is higher than for other functions, but the growth in spending is stronger. So there's a mixed message there. We are budgeting more for capital spending, lagging behind in spending, but it is nonetheless a faster area of spending than others, grown by about just over 16% at the national departmental level. There's some discrepancies in numbers here I should explain. COGTA's underspending of 2.1 billion is not really an underspending. This is an adjustment that has been made over many years. Transfers to municipalities that were earmarked mainly for infrastructure projects were not recovered if the spending didn't happen. And finally, after an extensive process of consultation, a resolution was passed by the budget forum with Olga's involvement, and there has and a recovery of unspent funds from municipalities has been implemented over the last few years. But several municipalities were not very keen to make these repayments, and so it was imposed on them through deductions from their equitable shares. So as you may know, there have been a few complaints about that that have had to be dealt with. So it's been an outcome of quite a considerable process of consultation. But that 2.1 billion is not really underspending. It's mainly a recovery through offsetting conditional grant monies that had flowed to municipalities through deductions from the equitable share transfers to municipalities. In Treasury's case, there are several different components here. That 2.9 billion is the overall underspending. I shouldn't really put that number in. It's 2.5 billion, which is the number in the previous table. The difference is state debt costs, which is not part of the 500 billion spending, but there was also a slightly lower level of final costs of state debt than was budgeted, and so that also is another spending or a saving relative to the total budget expenditure level. The jobs fund is the largest single underspending item here. There was a 2 billion initial allocation for the jobs fund. By the end of the year, about 1.8 billion had been committed in allocations to projects, but the transfers of those amounts has only really begun this year. And so there's an accounting issue there, I suppose. The program did get underway, allocations were made, implementation is now beginning this year, and cash flows are beginning this year, so there's a deferral of the cash flows in the accounts of the department. There were some delays in implementing the additional special pensions benefits. There have been delays for several years in the implementation of the IFMS project. This is the Financial Management System Improvement project, and so there's underspending on that. And then Treasury always has to be a bit cautious in budgeting for civil pensions and the post-retirement medical scheme contributions, which are hard to estimate and have to be fully funded, and so there was some savings in those spending lines. On the basic education vote, there are a number of functions that the National Department has taken on behalf of provinces, some targeted school building projects, there were delays in payments, and in some cases these are just delays in paying invoices, in other cases there were some savings or lower costs than was anticipated, and so 1.2 billion less spent than initially budgeted. And social development, 1.1 billion, looks like a large number, but remember this is out of a total social grants budget of over 100 billion rand. So this is only 1% of spending. And for budgeting purposes, we need to ensure that there is sufficient funding for the social grants program. And so a 1% saving relative to initial budgets is quite reasonable for a program like that. Water affairs, I think here there is perhaps more cause for concern. Here we're talking about infrastructure projects, some delays in completing the Hoop Dam construction, and some delays in the finalization of the Nandoni pipeline scheme. So essentially construction project delays, and in some cases invoices or cash flows that have carried forward into the next year on water affairs vote. But this is really an incomplete picture because the water affairs financial arrangements are quite complex. There is a trading account and there are regional water schemes, and so that number is only part of the story. In public works this case as well, I think again we're talking about infrastructure maintenance programs, and so we would want to see some improvement in those levels of spending over time. This is a department that still has quite considerable administrative and management difficulties to deal with, and so it's not a surprise that we're still seeing some underspending on construction and public works projects. Police is a first in many years. Police is a vote that almost always fully spends its money. I think they're quite good at staying up late the night before the end of the financial year and pushing invoices through the computer system until they've spent everything. They didn't do so well this year, and so there were some allocations that were not fully spent. Some delays in this targeted, and I think this is really what happened, delays in the targeted modernization projects and in some building of police stations. As you know, police's contract management has come under some scrutiny, so it's perhaps a good thing that they're being a bit cautious and sorting that out. Again, that's not a huge number relative to the budget. The department with a budget of over 50 billion rand, again, this is 1% of their budget. It's not a huge level of underspending, so perhaps they can be forgiven for a little carelessness at the end of that financial year. All right, that's the summary picture. Obviously, there's more detail on individual votes and members. Many might want us to focus on specific things. But my suggestion, Chair, is maybe if there's some questions on the overall picture, we deal with that first, and then perhaps ask Peter Graham to give you a bit more detail on the education-related departments which she is responsible for.
So you're suggesting that we
in general terms, is it possible for us to get a breakdown of how much is savings and how much is underspending? Because when you put this together, there's savings and underspending that are sort of put together. You mentioned some figures as we go along, but for us to have something in writing to say in a particular department they've saved X amount because they were prudent in the way they managed their funds, but they underspent Y. Because I think that's an important tool for us to know. Then secondly, with regard to the local government municipalities, is it possible to provide us a list of the amounts and the municipalities from which these monies were recovered, because it would mean underspending in those municipalities if you asked for it back. Certainly some projects have suffered along the line, and maybe we need to later on investigate those particular municipalities as to why, if money was allocated for particular projects, they didn't spend it, what was their drawback. Those are just the general. I think the other questions I have shared might arise out of the next presentation, so I'll just wait and see what happens. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just on slide 6, you referred to the jobs fund of 1.18 billion rand that was served. Can you just explain to me where does it actually go and what, how is it applied, this jobs fund?
The textbooks in Tena, which was reported as a huge thing.
the second one.
The workbook, not the second one.
No, the works. Well, the works books.
Yeah.
The books. So the, when you call it the books. Call it the books. In generic terms. Now, what is behind this shorthand? If you could just explain, because I think you have the explanation. Maybe it would also be useful to get a little bit of a full account on the narrative of it. Then the, how do we, this part of the story in terms of water affairs, there's a big concern around the water affairs and the work done and under expenditure and the programs that has been decided. Now, you do report part of the story because of the other part of the story that is not necessarily here. But at some point, I think you would agree that from Treasury, we would probably like to see that full part of the story that you have left out as a result of the other agencies presented, so that we can have a full story. Because the responsibility of the full story in terms of budget remains the Treasury and nobody else. So that's the Treasury 2.9, I think you're explaining it to be some problem of pensions and stuff like that. I wasn't a bit comfortable. Now, in the whole, DDG, in the whole, that's 11.4 billion that was underspent in terms of it. Obviously, it's been worked in back into the money, into the budgetary of the new year. Mechanism in place right now in terms of managing this aspect. What would you say in terms of your overall mechanism of ensuring the spend on task as agreed in terms of what the program should be? And are you happy with what you get as a feedback for under expenditure?
Thank you very much,
Thank you, Chair. I see now here on the last page, I think it's on the page 38, some of the questions that the Honourable Member on the Kanda only one question. I'm not certain if I was raised here. That is I think it was how many times independent on the Sunday Times that they said it's about 3.2 billion rand that State Department's own local governments. Is that the rest? That is not under national agenda, am I right? We also can answer on that. Thank you.
Understanding is because they themselves need to account as to why they are understanding. And this is not the first yet. Because to us, each and every cent, you know, when these departments are asking for money, you don't stuff your palm as the treasurer before you give money to the department. Definitely, there are reasons, there are documents that are in front of you after having discussions and understanding as to whether these departments do need this money and it's urgent that they must get this money. You give them money. But the impression that I'm getting is that you just give money. You don't even check the capacity of this department to use money. Every year there has to be, a budget vote, and you have to give money. So for you, it's just to dish out money. You don't care whether this money, you don't care to look at the pensions of the department and say, we're not giving you this money. For example, you have taken over these departments, these provinces. And there is no difference there. Instead, there are more problems in terms of using the money. There is no difference. I don't take kind to underestimating or downplaying the understanding. It's my job in this committee. And this money is meant for people who have nothing. And we as politicians are faced with all of these questions. We are going to national elections. The country is in flames everywhere in all of these 9 provinces. The money is there. These departments are not accounting because they are understood. There's crime, there's everything everywhere. We've got gangsters in the Western Cape. We've got shortage of police. There are no police stations in other areas. We downplay that, no, we understand, they are a good department, so we understand why the police stations have not been built, because it's only 1%. And we must go there and answer. The transfers that are made to... you must tell me about the transfers, in fact. What is your understanding of these transfers? From where I'm seated and the committee is, the transfer cannot be regarded as money that has been used until you have seen from where you have transferred the money that the money has been used. So we have been faced with a number of departments who come here and they transfer. And when we demand whether the monies have been used there, they don't know. They have no clue. Meaning that this transfer business is just to dump, like also dumping, so that they can come and report and say the money is gone. So please, just tell us about these savings. I don't believe in savings. I don't believe that this department, that we don't pass any budget that is called savings. These departments, when they come to us, they don't tell us we're going to save 200 billion. This is for savings. When they ask for money, they say this is for that and this is for that. And for the current year, this is what we're going to use. At which stage, when do you decide on savings, or the department go to you and tell you that it's savings, and you accept that? I'm looking at the GCIS. You are saying it is spending for amounts, the deviation is primarily due to savings in lease payment costs that would have been incurred had the department relocated. If the money has been asked for, why 2013 is the money with them? Why to understand when they are going to only move or occupy that building in 2030? Why would they ask money for now? So really, I think you must be straight with us. Tell us about the savings. What is that you regard as savings? And if you do, why? Because as parliamentarians, you don't know that. We don't know what is savings. To us, it's understanding. You must then lecture us or teach us on what is spending and what is saving and what is understanding. And that's my comment. I think it's more of a comment than questions, but really, I'm not impressed by the way. To me, you are so casual. You are so understanding. You know, you just dish out money to the department. You are just really, that's the problem. And we must face the music. If you sit that in your office, we must face the music when you go down there. But the money is there. You are not going to account. When these tires are bent there, the politicians must go and send them, be thrown with everything, and you are seated in your office. Yet the money is there. So I don't really appreciate this casuality of understanding. Even if it's 50 cents, if a person says we're going to use that 50 cents, you must understand why the 50 cents has not been used. Thank you, Jeff.
Just the you did mention there's over expenditure. If I look at the graph on slide number 3, I can see the graphs there with the red that you have mentioned, that some of the this graph has been influenced by certain things. On the first page, when you spoke about the graphs on the, I think you said on the Parliament, you said Parliament has got their own kind of level of power. And then you also said about something about unauthorized over expenditure. Then you referred to the President and it's part of SCOPA. I wasn't sure what you were referring to, that is now being dealt with by SCOPA, what reference that one. And just as a side, you decide to answer. In terms of just, it reminds me with my colleagues next door to me here, the section 100, you holding all the checkbooks, does it mean that the treasury in terms of the payment of the provinces, they holding all the checkbooks in terms of their payment there, that the authority comes from treasury, centralized treasury? Just want to get that clarity.
Thank you very much, honourable members. I think that the colleagues have raised questions.
And you know,
just to add a comment, is the around the compensation of employees. I'm sticking to slide number 6, for example. The expenditure, or even slide 5, the expenditure is fine for employees. But when you go to the quarterly report, in fact, the report says that in the expenditure for goods and services and everything else, there is understanding. Now, I'm saying the relation between the compensation of employees and the expenditure doesn't seem to what you call it to tally on my side. Because, for instance, if you go to individual departments, some of the reasons that you'll get is that they couldn't spend because they haven't got the, they're not employed. So forth and so forth. But the spending generally, if you look at the spending pattern on
that the expenditure for 2011-2012 is lower than the expenditure on 2010-2011. It's lower even in terms of figures. I don't know where the problem is. I'm looking at slide 5. Yeah, I'm not sure where the problem is. That's one. On slide 5. Yeah. I'm just looking on the expenditure for the actual expenditure in 2010-2011. 456 billion. On 2010-2011-2012, it's 499. Yes. Oh, it's 499. Wow. Yes. Okay. Great. No, it's fine. It's okay. But also, just coming back then on this on savings and other spending, I'm also what law perhaps was used to implement that. My approach what were the implications of this? Because this money is recovered from the equitable shape. Honorable Masana was saying, when somebody is supposed to get 20 million, following a million, get 19, and so forth. But what are the implications in terms of what, for instance, Honorable Yegel is saying, that people are crying out there for these services? But because officials in the office, they have not done their accounting properly. Now, the implications of that is all the service delivered. What is the relationship? On basic education, this school building, is it related to the ASEAN program? Or, I see a big nod there. Related to ASEAN program, which is about 1.1 billion. Understand. But, we have not have a reporting on the oversight visit that we have had. You know, and we're also going to get the presentation again, but I think there's a problem there. We think, as a committee, everything there, we think there's a problem there. And we think that it's a good program. But it was started at the wrong time, because it was started during adjustment. And the report that came to the committee was that we'll spend the 700 million by the end of the year. They couldn't spend it. Now the budget is increasing. Last week we were there. Because that people were only awarded now. Now they have only appointed a service provider. We are on the second quarter now of the what you call the of the year. Clearly, I think that is a problem. And what we said to them, that perhaps we're also saying today, is that this needs to be arrested. In terms of planning, I saw the what you call it in the. I was impressed by the appropriation what you call the act. I don't know whether this is John Fine that talks about planning. There. And our view, I mean, as a committee, all of us, we agree that there's a need that now for 2013-2012. Education must come to you and say,
with a clear plan. Never mind what is running parallel, but for 2013-2014, we must come with a clear plan so that at the beginning of the financial year, the new service providers, while others could be busy with the other ones because they were, are appointed. Because to us, if people, this year people say they want the 50 rand, and we give them the 50 rand, we don't think that, we hope that people are saying that because they're planning, they're going to spend it that year. We are quite aware that infrastructure is a roll-out, what you call a program, over a period of time. But we think that it must be taken, we must be what you call go to the house and propose that 2.3 billion must be spent, will be spent this year when we meet the other year. That's why we say some issue of planning. This issue of the Africa program is a good program, but planning must be arranged now. I think that colleagues have commented on the issues of the other departments. And just to emphasize on what Yeni was saying about the 1%. 1% is a small what you call, the negligible what you call it, amount of infrastructure. But if you put it in the range of sense, it becomes a huge situation under this times of economic, what you call the times that you were talking about. And I think that the colleagues were saying some departments, this understanding is perpetual, is not over the years. Now, the issue is why does other departments can't come and say, look, we would want to spend this, but we don't want to, we don't have the capacity. Can we cut? Sooner or later, I think that we have the money bill, profit and related matters, which has not yet actually kicked in terms of implementation. And once it kicks in, I think that there's going to be what we call some kind of challenges in terms of real estate, but are people able to spend those what we call the amount, or do they need this amount? So that if they don't need it, surely it will be required help. Okay. Thank you.
So that's a question, Chair, one. DDG, when you were talking about the Department of Education, you said amongst other reasons for the understanding is the deferral of the cash flow. No, you were talking about soft funds, deferral of the cash flow in the accounting department. I want you to explain that. Just unpack it. I also want you to unpack the statement that says the delay in care, when you're talking about the basic education, it's delays in payment and the underestimation of the budget. What do you mean by the underestimation of the budget? I don't want to assume. I want you to tell me what exactly do you mean, because this underestimation is led us to serious crisis in the education in general, the infrastructure, really the technology. That's the same as me. And the third, last one. When the national treasury decide on the a budget for financial years, what does this take into account? When do you increase? Do you take into account what you are going to be allocating to the department? Do you also take into account the spending pattern of the department? When do you increase the national budget? What is the right word? National budget. What at national system. Then when do you decide to increase it? And when do you decide to, what is that to take into account? Well, I'm asking this, I know that this year it was increased. Yet the department, most of the departments under spent in their budget. So what is that to really take into account? Or do you accommodate this understanding because you understand why they understand and give them more money? Tell me what is all the factors that you take into account before you increase and decrease the national the budget on each financial year?
I think the DDG in the explanation of the other whole host of questions, list of questions, can also explain the last page. Is this with the water issues there? That is a whole lot of issues about the target. I don't understand the explanation. Maybe you do, in terms of the target they set and the target which is not achieved. We will have to call them in as a committee. But I just want to understand from the treasury perspective your own explanation. And you did mention the lateness of the report. But frankly, I didn't quite understand why is it late, or is it late, or is it not late. My view is that it is far out of why is it so? I'm not quite expecting that from treasury action. If we were to look at even our own side, what is the competent explanation of this?
Okay, thank you. That was a very good question. If you start with the timing of the report, the report was ready in June. So it's taken us a long time to get a meeting together, but this is always the most awkward time of year because in July, of course, there's recess and so on. And ideally, we would like to have this session in June. That's when the report is ready and in fact, ready by the end of May.
But that's too bad. Thank you, maybe, for revisiting this question. You say ideally it is true. Let's just talk on the ideal part of it. The month and quarter ends end of the third month or March or whatever. Ideally, just after how long is there a time frame where we can say, well, when you look in terms of the TFMA, it gives certain time. Now, you say that ideally, for the fourth quarter, it was June. Let us speak about generally, but whether the fourth quarter or any other quarter, when do we expect to be expected to be quarterly report? Because I think sometimes, maybe members are not coming out clearly, but sometimes we ask ourselves the question whether is this exactly what we want to achieve, or is it kind of a scope situation where we're trying to find a situation where we can keep pace. You know, we know that keeping pace doesn't mean it's
only understanding, but how long should we wait? So that we also put pressure, and without understanding that, no, this report actually is not at necessary stage. But we should also be clear as well when to expect the report. When can we expect it?
Chair, the departments provide their data after a month, and they then go into a review process in Treasury, and this report gets completed by the end of 2 months after the end of the quarter. So by the end of May, the report is available. Similarly, now for the first quarter report will be available at the end of August. And so, you can schedule your meeting targeting any time in the first week of the third month, or like 8 weeks or 9 weeks after the end of the quarter, and we will be ready.
In other words, there could be challenges through the fourth quarter.
Yes,
a lot of it.
But that's up to you. So you have to find a date that works, and there are many things in Parliament's programme that you have to accommodate. But the first week of June is certainly a very practical date from our point of view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's why I was saying, I think we must stay here now for the rest of the next 2 years of working, the first week of the third one, and then we will just create this problem.
Okay,
I'm happy to get an explanation, because I had in my mind this PMFA and Renault statement as we submitted. It's only 2 months after the end of the financial year. So it should be ready with the report by May. So is this a problem, our problem here? So we need to solve our problem in terms of the solar trap that we will have to deal with that our own administrative issues moving forward. Like you're saying, August will be ready to the first quarter. So that's the answer.
The only thing that is different about the fourth quarter is the numbers in the annual report will be the audited numbers. So there may be slight variations between what we have for the fourth quarter and what the department will have in the annual report. So if the committee just keeps that in mind, then the date that the government is speaking to is completely true.
Thank you. You may go to the...
There's quite a lot of discussion of savings and underspending and the difference between savings and underspending. And in the detailed discussion on each vote, we have tried to provide explanations, specific explanations of the reasons for deviations from appropriations. And so, you know, those explanations do attempt to set out whether we're talking about a reduction in cost saving, or perhaps underspending because of delays. I should say, though, that in looking at these numbers, remember that these are typically consolidated position for a vote as a whole, and within many votes there are shifts to allow for increases in spending on some activities that are moving faster than others, and adjustments where programs are going more slowly. And in complex departmental programs like trade and industry, where there are several hundred various sorts of intensive programs or projects underway every year, there are quite a lot of shifts between one activity and another as you get towards the end of the financial year. And in the tables, we do provide some information about the shift and adjustments that have been made since the adjustment estimate, because there are two stages during the financial year, up to the adjustment estimate and after the adjustment estimate, in which departments can make those kinds of changes. So in the more detailed reports for each vote that the department has to table as part of the financial statements, as part of the annual report, you'll see a lot more information about what is savings, what are shifts, to allow for variation in the performance of programs, what are perhaps changes in cost estimates. But there's some things that are obviously savings. If there's an exchange rate movement or changes in prices that result in lower costs for specific activities, then that's a saving. Where projects are delayed, then that's an underspending. In many cases, I think if I were to answer the question, what are we talking about, savings or underspending, I would say the largest share of these deviations is to do with delays in projects. And that's why you see it, particularly in capital projects, where often departments find in practice getting through the procurement process, getting through the contracting process, getting project underway, it takes longer than expected. And so capital and infrastructure projects tend to experience delays that come through in underspending as you move from one year to the next. But bear in mind, members, that in our budget system, and this is quite unusual internationally, we do allow for a department to roll over money in respect, for example, of a capital project or infrastructure project in which perhaps the work that was expected to be done in December or January only gets done in March. The invoices come through and are paid in April or May. And so some of this underspending on projects will come through into the 2012-13 budget as rollovers, and you'll see those numbers coming into the adjustments appropriation. Yeni quite rightly says I shouldn't be casual about $500 million of underspending on police, and so let me say yes, I completely agree with the member. These are large numbers, and we do want to see these police stations built. We do want to see those modernisation projects made. The point I was making is that in this committee sees some departments which year after year after year don't get their projects underway and don't spend their money. And police is an exception to that. This is the first year in many years, the first year that I can recall in which we've not had 100% spending on the police vote. The municipalities, this very specific case this year where some of the underspending in Program 3 of the Cooperative Governance vote was due to funds, and as it's put in the more detailed report, that were local government equitable share allocations or reductions which offset against unspent funds for the conditional grants that were not surrendered to the National Revenue Fund in previous years, in the municipal infrastructure grant amount. The legal provision for this is dealt with through the Division of Revenue Act, and as I said, there was quite a lot of consultation on this process because affected the cash position of municipalities, and so it has to be carefully managed. And so there will be details of this in the Cooperative Governance Report, but as I say, our involvement as the Treasury through the Intergovernmental Relations team was extended over a long period, and the provisions that govern these changes are dealt with in the Division of Revenue Act. And in the specific agreements between Cogter, Treasury, and individual municipalities. And indeed, I speak under correction because I don't deal with it directly, but my understanding is that all of these amounts, all of these adjustments, are documented and gazetted in the schedules associated with the decision. So the detailed information is available. Mr. Swart's question and Gany's question on the Jobs Fund, how does it work? The Jobs Fund is a 9 billion rand allocation, and in this year's budget, Minister of Finance indicated that it will be spent, we hope, over 5 years. In the initial allocation, it was for 3 years, and so the program cash flows are now expected to flow over a five-year period, really beginning this year. There was not much cash flow last year. Development Bank is the implementing agent of the project, and there is a jobs fund committee that has representatives from the Treasury and from the board of the Development Bank, which is responsible for making allocations to projects. And it operates on a competitive basis. So the jobs fund process began in June last year with a request for proposals, and the first submission deadline that I think was about the end of July last year, and there were about 2,500 project applications that had to be reviewed, and some of the delays in getting this program underway had to do with the fact that there was such a large volume of applications that had to be reviewed. They were reviewed over the period from August to November last year, and by about the end of February this year, 1.8 billion in allocations had been made to the first 35 or 40 projects. There's now been a second call for proposals, and the committee that is responsible for these allocations has just completed the first phase of its allocation for the second round. There are four categories of projects. There are what the Jobs Fund calls enterprise development projects, so there are projects that are aimed at developing small business development and supporting small business growth. There are work seeker support projects that are focused on usually recruitment and training activities, so assisting work seekers in finding the kind of skills that might assist them in finding work. There is a window for infrastructure development available here. By infrastructure development, the Jobs Fund means the kinds of things that municipalities can build that improve trading opportunities and that assist informal businesses become more formal, establish themselves in more facilities, kinds of business opportunities that might surround transport hubs or railway stations. And I should say that we already can see that is the area in which there's been less progress than we would have liked. In the first round, there were just about no applications for funds from municipalities. And so that opportunity to finance small business infrastructure and trading opportunities and put in place the kind of infrastructure that would assist in local economic development and job creation. That opportunity, municipalities have not taken advantage of to the extent that we expected. I think in the next round there will be some applications, but I certainly would hope that we'll see more action on that front. And then fourthly, there is a capacity building window. So there's some projects that are focused on institutions that maybe need further development to make labour markets work better, to bring work seekers and job opportunities together, so addressing the sort of mismatches between demand and supply in the labour market. And again, in the institutional development window, there have been a few interesting projects, but not all that many. It is a grant. So the Jobs Fund just makes a grant. In some cases, there's one quite big project, for example, that is taking advantage of existing programs of lending to small businesses that are providing assistance that are suppliers in the mining industry. So that's one kind of project. Program is a lending program, but the Jobs Fund allocation is a grant into that umbrella fund that is then transferred on to some extent in the form of loans to small businesses. So in general, the Jobs Fund makes grants, but in some cases those grants go to organizations that are involved in small business finance. And then the accounting issue simply is
that the government is going to finance. Do I need to follow up on the finance?
person, one or two people who spend quite a bit of time working with the DBSA administration team. But there have also been engagements with, for example, provincial economic development departments around looking for provincial opportunities, engagements with municipalities as well. So there's quite an extensive process of discussion that goes into the job summary. In the accounts of the jobs fund, clearly there has to be a record kept of commitments, but in most cases these are multi-year projects, so a commitment of R100 million may well get spent over the full 5 years of the program, not just in 1 year. And so what we will from now on account for in the budget is just the cash requirements. We'll have to do that with a sufficient reserve to allow for the uncertainty. But that initial $2 billion spending, $2 billion allocation last year was clearly much too optimistic. Realistically, these kinds of programs take a while to get going before we see consideration.
Who checks the board and jobs has to be created?
That's one of the reasons why it's taken a bit longer, is we have insisted on very specific reporting and monitoring obligations. So all project implementing agencies have to sign off on participating in a monitoring system. And in fact, we have also separately from the Development Bank put out a tender for a monitoring and evaluation team. So there will be a monitoring and evaluation project that we will run independently of the bank to keep track of spending. And also, not just to check that jobs are created, but also to attempt to evaluate the effectiveness of projects. Because in a project like this, you can't solve the jobs problem through a 9 billion rand program, but what you certainly can aim to do is to learn something about what works. And so that evaluation of projects to assist us in understanding what needs to change in order to accelerate job creation is part of what the jobs summit is for.
So, to the biggest number of delays in Canada, do you say that's a good salary?
Yes, the Jobs Fund also has an office space at the Development Bank, and it has a website there, and it has a call center. So, I don't want to make rash promises here, but there should be somebody at the end of the telephone. But we do take them quite a lot.
So is the issue saying that these delays in terms of payment in that job fund are caused by the reasons that you have just explained, that you need to see whether the money do they have mechanism in place to monitor money? Is this what you're talking about?
Well, I think
the delays, because when you talk about delays, you know, I thought that it's something that you have agreed that it must go on, but then the payment are delayed.
I mean, the Jobs Fund is typical of many new initiatives of government. The money is allocated, and planning and design and development is not fully in place when the allocations are made. An allocation made in a February budget for a new program or a new project or a new activity, only in very rare circumstances do you get significant spending in the first year of a major new initiative. So the Jobs Fund has experienced what we've often seen: too much money allocated in the first year, too much optimism, if you like, in the first year. It takes time to get things going. But as things get going, then you do reach a stage, usually about 18 months or 2 years into a program, when spending really does pick up because activity gets going. And we've seen that pattern in, for example, the introduction of the child support grant 10 years ago. In the first few years, spending was well behind budget, but then it stepped up and accelerated. And we'll see that in this program as well. And I should say that there's a in
understanding why you have underspending in the budget as a whole. Remember that appropriations are ceiling. Appropriation is a maximum that may be spent. And so where there is uncertainty, then you have to err, and departments have to err on the side of caution. And so when we have the social grants program, in which there are social grant entitlements, the budget has to make allowance for the fact that there may be higher than expected take up in the old age grant or the child support grant because of demographic factors that one can't have perfect foresight on. But you're always going to get some level of underspending in a budget system like this. And I do want to stress, I hope we're not coming across as being casual about that. The Treasury puts a great deal of effort into trying to improve the financial management and trying to improve the accuracy and reliability of our budgeting. But one cannot aim for 100% spending levels. One has to aim to improve spending levels and certainly ensure that projects get underway and get underway in a way that is affordable and delivers services.
I understand what you are saying, DG, but my question is, this department that a spending cutting, if one department does understand this year, you will see most departments that are understanding, only last year or 2 years, they have history. Now, when you then do that allocation, with all the good things that you have in mind, that you don't want to give them, if they want 10 rand, then you give them 10 rand because there might be some, other things that crops up. But what do you do with those that are underspending for years? When do you say, we are not giving, we are not rolling? Those who have been rolling for years, we do have them, you know them. When do you come in and say, it's enough, we are not giving you, you are not going to roll over if you don't do it this year? You can, because this is the thing of infrastructure and long-term projects. Let me take the example of the infrastructure in basic education in the Eastern Cape. When we went there, amongst other things, that's why I wanted to explain this underestimated cost. It's not about all these unforeseen problems that we are talking about. It's the issue of capacity, of which I think before the money is allocated to the department, there's a certain figure that they are asking for. And before you can give them that figure, it means that the figure that they have, that they can't just arrive at a figure and say they want this amount without having checked. The number of things that they have to check. They are going to check the market. They do market research. And then they will know how much, if they are going to go to tender or in tendering, what is their ceiling, what is that they can do. And when they take those people, they also know, there should be some agreements that are made that you're not going to turn tomorrow and tell me that you have underestimated in terms of it, unless we are casual. Because that's what results in this underestimated. This underestimated are called this escalation cost. Because we underestimated. Meaning that ourselves, we have not made any market research. We have not really gone or engaged and scrutinized the money that we are giving. And we end up in perpetual crisis. And the money is every year, and then we have to run after. So those are things that I'm asking. They're those that are understandable, that they cannot be finished in 1 year or 2 years. And the explanation is very clear. The closure of schools, I mean, really. schools, and when people have told you this is the target and these things are not going off the ground, what's the problem? Why do we understand this?
maybe we should give Julia a chance to talk a bit about the basic education work here. And remember, this is a national department that is working with provincial departments. The big numbers are in the provincial allocation. One of the things that we do this time of year is to visit provinces and participate with provincial treasuries and provincial departments in the first stages of their budget processes. And so Julia has some experience of exactly the things that Linda is talking about. But should we perhaps talk about the basic education area?
Let's just integrate the whole thing so that we don't go back and have another presentation.
Okay, just a little. In this particular grant, this is an unusual situation where the national department is doing something that the province should actually be delivering. In the report, in the large report, I want to just point out to members that the Eastern Cape has a particular problem in the delivery of infrastructure, not only for schools, but also for clinics, housing, and the rest of it. And in fact, for this year, part of the 1.1 billion underspending on DBE is the 367 million that was withheld from the Eastern Cape in the infrastructure grant for education, which is these two grants, the backlog and the normal education grant. Both for school infrastructure. So the 700 million that they were allocated last year, it was for 50 schools also in the Eastern Cape. And those were elevated from the list. So at the time of the budget, they had all 50 schools. They could give us a schedule. We knew which was mud, which was unsafe, which needed sanitation, which needed electricity. So maybe I'm a bit too optimistic, but all I'm seeing is these children not in a safe place. We costed out the entire program at 8.2. We had a discussion. We said, if we take it that we can get rid of these backlogs in 3 years, because these are the bottom of the list, then if we take the budget and we go 700 million in the first year, 2 billion and 5 billion, we think we've got the trajectory right. But clearly I overestimated the capacity of the national department. Our understanding with them was that they would use a big contractor as the program management unit. And then there were lots of discussions between the minister and our minister, and they landed up saying no, let's go to the DBSA. The DDG has just spoken about the same DBSA that is dealing with the jobs.
I wish you were there.
I should have come, actually. And then we had the problem of being, no, let's not have big contractors, let's use contractors in the Eastern Cape. So then that further delayed the actual awarding of the tender. So in terms of the role of this, I mean, prudent financial management is safe to me, even though there's about 600 million that they would like to roll over into this 2 billion. My recommendation to the Treasury Committee should be to say, let's not roll over that money, let's just reschedule. And instead of taking 3 years to finish the phase one, just stretch it for the fourth year. And I think, but somehow, when I have to say to you, my heart, I'm really also not quite the Treasury official that people expect me to be. But if I see that children are not in a safe structure, my instinct is to be a bit more optimistic. Because what I don't want, ma'am, is for the department to come and say, we could have, and then the Treasury wasn't recommending any money.
I think I understand that as well. You are moving from the ground before internet, you know. Then the only problem then with the, you know, what we have to be careful of as treasury is to just deal money, hoping that things will go the right way. So it means that you must be part of, if they say they have a contractor, then it means you don't only rely on DBSA, because you have to account for money. You must be there physically. And when you see that things are not going that direction, you get those red lights early, that in fact you have made a mistake, let's change around. Not them, but you, because you are there. You must account for the money at the end of the day. Because there's a future there, we are going to think that you just give money, you know. You just give money. Enroll them, allow them, because you are allowed to roll over money. And things are getting worse and worse. So it means there's another way that we have to adopt in terms of monitoring the money. Yes, you must give the money so that kids can go to school, but then you must be there physically.
In fact, it's not that time is never on our side. Father, so let us down. Who wanted them there, let us down. Because what we said to them, I mean, I would have loved a situation where we discuss this report and don't talk about something else. Focus on this report is in the Eastern Cape. For instance, what we said at the beginning of the year, looking, I think we're taking from Dora, is that maybe we should have a cycle of discussing these things continuously and don't say we'll wait for Dora. So that when Dora comes, we know that at least we have some consensus. That is the view of the committee. And we think that we still have to call it one that. But the issue that we're talking, it's not about Dora, it's about our appropriation. You know, what you said is that our understanding, and we think that the first we said to education people there, that you said there are two grants, school infrastructure grants, which is administered under DORA, otherwise by the program, must run with it. This one is a special project over a period of time. And we thought that it's better if we have this time frame that we have put, that at least you don't know what to call it, the requirements. For instance, initially there were grade 9 CIDP or 8, now we hear that they were lower to grade 6, otherwise to accommodate the progress. But you have just said to us that and you said something that we know, that Eastern Cape has got a problem in infrastructure delivery. And we think that the people in the Eastern Cape, for instance, would have a role to play in delivery of health infrastructure and delivery of school infrastructure. But otherwise, if this one we also open it too much, then we might have to take the route that you suggested, not over the time that it was initially was thought that it could take. But maybe maybe we should practice this vertical discussion and make a special time just to focus on it.
We are agreeing on our commentary.
I do agree, but no, my difficulty is in this 4 years. I mean, I understand practicalities of it.
Mm-hmm.
But for heaven's sake, if we have a problem with infrastructure that needed to be fixed and we've made money available to it, the implication of stretching over 4 years has other implications of cost escalation. So no longer talking the same amount of money, we're talking a different amount of money. So is there should be some other way or some degree of intervention. If you already know that the capacity of the Eastern Cape is a problem, surely the government of the country must be able to do something to address that. Now, big companies versus small companies, of course there is a commitment for government to also build a small and medium business, but not at all cost. Not at the cost of a child that still wants to go into a school and that is close to the infrastructure. So there must be a balance that the treasury, as a person who holds the press, must also be able in that that round table of presentation of the department in terms of the to be able to say no, because the treasury, there are also other Africans who see the problem, who see the problem of the money that is spent on all that money. I'm just saying I'm a green chair, but inside me, some to tell me that I must say this, that it is not a reasoning now.
I want to remind you on what you say. You remember already education beginning of the year. They said they've already indicated to us that this money will go out. They would require 1.8 billion. That's what they said up to now, beginning of the year. So you're quite right in terms of saying it won't be 1.8 billion. So it's going to grow much, much bigger than that if we... we allow what we mean we want to, we accommodate what we want to accommodate. Sorry, I'm sorry, you are not done.
No, sorry.
No. On this issue also of the cost, I think treasury, you must go back and revise the decision of this route that is going to add more cost that we don't know as well. But you look for a route that even if it's going to be cost, you will know exactly if we are extending this thing. If you say 2 years, then this is what we are going to pay. And what we are going to pay is not going to be more than that. So you must have a definite amount, and you can do that. If it means that you guys must look for these, you must intervene when it comes to these people who are experts in dealing with infrastructure, let it be, so that you know this can come to an end once and for all. Because it's really a pain. But you can't keep on going back to the past. Because we are saying we are accommodating, we must accommodate to a certain extent and say, yes, this is what we are doing. It's either you do this or we are going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, only a question, is it possible for Treasury to indicate for us the rollovers and the money involved for consultants over the last 3 years in the different departments? I think in the future they must also indicate for us what is the project, the cost of the consultants in the beginning and every year after that. But we can see at the end of the time what increase, what is the cost of increase of consultants, because I think it will rise in the finance. Thank you.
You're not specifically raising
for
this one
today. No, not for today, because I think it will take time, but I think it will be good. Of course, every year we came back and we say consultants increase. But what is the total amount we paid for rollovers, the finance, the total package of the money that we paid for consultants by rollovers for the last 3 years? I would appreciate if we can get that. So over there next month or something. Right? Thank you.
You are always supposed that you must have a different discussion. But it's important for them to have, at least they know how we feel, we're worried about the installation of costs, consultancy. When they come, they can definitely, they are going to talk with their counterparts, Department of Education, even if they come with them. But we need a revised deadline. And the money that will be used. so that that's the end of it. And how is that going to be done? They can do that.
I'm sorry.
Something. I mean, we've
got to do something as a collective, and we have that responsibility because we are getting this bit. Do the are the portfolio committees aware of what's happening here? I mean, it's them. They should be asking these searching questions to COPTA, to works, to everybody else. But are they aware? We don't know. Do they get briefings like we are getting briefings on the specific financial spending patterns of their own departments that they have oversight over? We don't know. So, Chair, I want to suggest that you take time with your management and those in the management to think about a program where we say we call them in on different days and we have a whole day kind of thing, not just a couple of hours and then we have to rush here or there. So we can support each other. Because at the end of the day, we want to see infrastructure delivery on the ground. We want to see those mud schools that that Julia talks about and Honorable Yangeni talks about eliminated. But every year we'll come here till 2014 when we'll be kicked out. Then whoever takes our place will come back here and carry on saying there's mud schools in Eastern Cape and so on and so forth. Maybe this committee needs to make its mark now rather than later. Second thing, Chairperson, is if some of the departments are doing this, spending, underspending and overspending and also the, what about the public entities? And there's over 300 of them and the money is transferred to them. Is there anybody monitoring what they do? Does the Treasury have an idea? I know it's not their direct responsibility, but does Treasury, can Treasury put something together where we say public entities have been given so much of money, now they are underspending, they are saving. I mean, a similar kind of pattern can develop. Because a lot of government taxpayer money is residing there. Mm. It's being dumped there in these public entities and everything else. So, you know, that will give us a bigger and better picture of what's happening in the country. I mean, you take this whole debacle, Chair, last week on the Sinkandla Sun City that's being built, right? And we all read about it. I mean, where is the money coming from? Has it been appropriated? Has it not been appropriated? And those kind of things. Is it just somebody woke up one morning and said, let's put money there, let's build a police station? No, it's been planned. It has been planned. But maybe we need to know, because we need to answer these public questions that are out there, that yes, a police station was planned 3 years ago, it's going to be built now. Schools were planned. Agriculture development was planned. And now it's all coming together and people are saying, well, why should it come together? We want KwaZulu-Natal for that. So I think we need to look at some of these things in a broader way. Thanks.
Now, we will do the what you call it, our program. I mean, you're raising important questions about monitoring the infrastructure for the industries. We have the capacity ourselves to do that. And the question that you're raising about the our colleagues from the portfolio committee is doing that. It is a lot of work, but I think that sometimes there is maybe if we could get a report sometime, maybe frustration arises because we're not having perhaps access to those reports. Before we throw our arms. But let's come back to this. But the question that you raised, Honorable Singh, about maybe we're asking the, what you call it, the wrong people. I think here, up to now, what I've been listening has been, the approach has been around the principle,
yes,
rather than saying why on this department is not happening. I think that up to now, that has been the principle of that's why Treasury is not a, I mean, they know that they can say to us, well, the details of this, we will find it in the department. The focus has really been around the principle of what is the role of Treasury on this. I think that's what I've been listening to, you know.
And the proof that the black on the
floor. Just something that, you know, that concerns me as well with regard to the portfolio committee and ourselves is the question of the BRR reports, which goes directly to Parliament without coming to this committee. You know, and the question I'm asking is, how much do we know we approve budget and the appropriations and what have you, and then suddenly it just changes at the end of the year and we don't know anything about it.
We'll make that question your business, sir. We arrange it all the time. We have not been able to undercut it to respond.
Do you want to conclude there?
All right, let me just conclude, Chair, with a few quite a few comments that I haven't dealt with, but
we'll
take those with us.
We'll not disturb you.
Very, very quickly on water affairs, the full story. I won't try to do the full story here. But the key thing is that the water trading entity generates a fair amount of revenue from regional water schemes or water boards, and so the water trading accounts that are in the annual report of the Water Affairs Department and are summarised in the E&E is the first place to go in trying to get that bigger picture. So it's revenue to government, but it's not really part of the spending that has to be added, and the overall water envelope is quite a lot larger than these numbers. About 3 billion of the 9 billion rand water affairs vote goes to the water trading accounts entity, is spent on major schemes, typically on behalf of municipalities for regional water schemes that will in due course be transferred to municipalities. And I think that the underspending on those projects, on those regional schemes, has been the most important area of underspending. My understanding is that those percentage reports that are summarised in the last table here, 81%, 50%, 60% on projects, are the percentages of spending relative to what is planned in the budget. So you've got a sort of summary of progress against planned spending on those projects, and then only 5 months, for example. But there will be more detail in the department's report. Then on the general issue that has come up in many comments on local and provincial accountability, what are we really getting for delivery at the local and level? What are we doing to deal with the failures of delivery and delays? I think that it would be sensible, Chair, for the intergovernmental relations team to deal directly with the provincial and municipal programs. We're dealing with the Section 100 interventions or involved in directly monitoring what's happening at the municipal level. I think it would be sensible if they were part of this reporting system. We've focused here on national votes, but of course a lot of what national departments do is transfer money to municipalities or provinces. And so perhaps your committee would like to hear specifically from our intergovernmental relations team as part of this report back, and that could be done. So if you're agreeable with that, then maybe we'll talk to them about that as part of this year's program. And then on the general question of the role of public entities, and more specifically consultants, rollovers, are amongst the things that have been raised.
Just before you go there, that's why we insist that the DGs must come whenever they come to Parliament, because DG will never refer as very good. You must answer. Yes, you answer. I respect what you're saying, but that's why you must have your accounting officer when you come here, because there are certain areas that you will not be able to give a full report or satisfactory report. So when they come here, including that department, I mean he's talking about, they must come. And the DG must be here, the DG must be here. And the sooner that meeting is held, the better. I agree with my colleague. Because the questions, you are asking the right questions on our boards to the right people. It's our own portfolio are dealing with money, and the treasury has reps in every department. thing, whenever they come, they will tell us this is a treasury somebody. And if they are there physically, they should be knowing everything that is happening in that department. So the questions are asked by us as the right people. So in future, when they come, share the sooner we have to decide on that meeting very soon so that we can follow these issues.
But we will try.
Just
rollovers, the adjustment estimate, which will be tabled at the end of October, has all the details of rollovers and from two consultants. Questions on consultants, I've noted. The E&E chapters do include specific line item reporting on spending on consultants and professional services for all the programs in which consultants are significant expenditures. So those numbers are here.
No, Mr. Donaldson, the question was not saying that. The question was looking at, in fact, I think the question emanates from even the ministry's report, the Public Service Commission report, that says government is spending a lot of money on consultants. And I think that was a question that it was raised is how much over the years.
The experience largely. There was a voting 700 would go up now to 1.6 million. Now the point is, look what was the cost for the consultants. What were the cost in now? My point is, what is there now for the last 3 years of increasing the price of these contracts? What amount that we paid for the consultants? So I think we can look at the last 3 years.
But I hear what the member is saying, because you can look at the overall numbers here, but they're not going to tell you what's happening project by project.
Why I get that question. That book is not going to ask them. Because there are certain questions that we need to share. Because there are, on these consultants, definitely they tender, and you decide, you take the one that is the smallest in terms of the amount. But when it finishes the program, that consultant, the fees of that program, they are more than the one that you said you could not take because it was higher than the one that you had taken. That's why. So we need all those.
Yeah.
So that's why we are very sensitive to these consultants, use of consultants, because they are letting the government off, actually.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think you want to wrap up, so let me just say several people have noted how public entities are where a lot of the spending is, in particular in the infrastructure area. We are spending a lot more time in Treasury with the public entities, understanding the public entities, asking exactly these questions about consultants, about escalation of project costs, and trying to develop a better understanding. And so our reporting in future will try to add more information on public entities, particularly in the larger public entities.
Yeah.
In the program. Thank you.
I am a bit worried. I think the DG made a remark right at the beginning, saying that in future your reports will be concentrated more on the spending issues, and from our point of view we are getting more interested in the outcomes issues, because what are we achieving with what we're spending? This is what we really want to know.
I need to correct something I said, because I made a mistake. And in fact, there's a mistake in these pictures. I talked about Parliament's different positions.
Yes.
It can spend other money. But this graph on the first page is incorrect. And you'll see, if you look at the detailed numbers, that in fact what's happened here is somebody has flipped the number for the direct charges that are not part of the vote into the spending. And that's why there's this, looks like a 25% overspending. It's a mistake. It didn't actually happen.
take energy can be on slide 6. This 7, 6, 8 of earthquake understanding being due to construction and maintenance delays. I thought that it would mention that the challenges, as the report shows, the main report shows that are on the what is this thing?
EPWP.
That's true. Yes. That's where the main one because it is.
Shepherd, if you allow me just to get clarity on something or to join the discussion.
I feel quickly.
Pardon?
I don't, we will not block you out.
Thank you. Just to get clarity on the so-called spending trend. Mr. Donaldson will remember, and I think you, Chair, as well, that our meetings with finance, Standing Committee on Finance, and even on SCOPA, questions were asked about when we come to the spending trend, on what basis do you monitor the spending trend of the different departments? And it was then promised to us by the DGs of different departments, and I think even of finance at that stage, that the accrual basis of accounting will come in and will take over the cash basis of accounting. Now, what we found, and I also experienced that when I was out, and you will remember in 2004, we were together at the old Economic Advisory Service, when we had discussions there, is that many of the departments, they do spend all their money. But then at the end of the day, some of the invoices, you know, were submitted after the end of the financial year, because they just keep it back, because they deal with the cash basis of the government. But when it comes to the accrual basis of accounting, of course, as you do the expenditure, it's already on the book. So you can't hide, you can't use the next year budget to cover all the costs. What do you experience in departments at present, and what is the prescribed manner in which they have to put their reports on the state of expenditure to your department? So to do a proper monitoring, you know, of actually how they help with their budget. It also happened at some stages, and I think it's still occurring, that in some departments, to say that we spend all our money up to the cent, if you can say that, you know, not necessarily unappropriated or unforeseen, unavoidable, but certain expenses, unauthorized expenditure, or just to purchase something, you know, to buy in bulk or whatever, to make sure that they spend all their money, and then they come to Parliament and say, look, we spend all our money, but when it comes to the effectiveness, the 3 years of the spending, you know, then we experience huge problems. I just want to know, Chairperson, how do the Treasury or your department deal with that, to get that information and to put an embargo or to put a barrier on things that might occur in this one? Thank you.
Chair, I can quickly respond. I mean, the Accountant General's reporting requirements of departments do oblige departments to report on or to provide estimates of their accruals, in other words, of invoices that have not yet that have accrued that have not yet been paid. So, in a department's financial statements, you will find estimates of those balances, those non-cash expenditures, if you like, and changes from one year into the next in those balances. As is the case internationally, you know, countries face a difficult trade-off. To move to accrual accounting in government departments introduces more complexity, makes more demands on the accounting systems and financial systems. And so countries have experienced difficulties in that transition. And my understanding is the Accountant General's approach here is that when the IFRS reforms are ready, when the systems, in other words, are in place to do this, then we will make the transition to accrual-based reporting. At present, though, those quasi-accrual-based accounts, the accounts that show as the changes in accrual balances reports, but they're not part of the quarterly system, so we are not in a position to report on that on a quarterly basis yet, and the systems don't allow for that.
No, ask more questions on this response. My worry though is that the campus of Congress is that we can't be late. People must, we must be waiting for people instead of us waiting, them waiting for us.
Chair, just a very quick comment, DDG. You've got classifications, you've got chief directors for different responsibilities, like you've got economic services, urban development and infrastructure, what I'm looking through here. But there's nothing here about rural development. And rural development and infrastructure in the rural areas is an important aspect that government is focusing on as a total. Now, shouldn't you be, where does that fit into the bigger picture?
The economic services scheme here, but I agree with you, it fits appropriately there.
Thank you very much, honourable members. We received a message that there will be your all embracing as a project and important things for honourable meetings, other ways the way everybody is accommodated. Though the main one, of course, we know that it takes place in the house. So as honourable but on the issues that we presented before us, I think that there are more issues that really came out of this. But the main issue to me revolves around what we said earlier, that this is the fourth quarter soon, end of the month, the annual report will be coming, which these issues will be reflecting more. In other words, we have to make a decision as a committee whether we want to go the normal process of inviting the individual department in terms of spending or what. I'm not saying that we should respond to that question now, but but we have to look at that as to how we're going to approach this one. Because there might be some kind of repetition. But there are issues that we have extracted or from this one, because a discussion that needs to be put in our edit in our program so that we can deal with it. Because sooner or later, we're going to be your PRR and the MTPPF. And I don't think that after MTPPF there will be a lot of time left to deal with the division of revenue. But the issues that we say we need to deal with. And there are reports that we do oversight visits where we would want a national treasurer to join us in some, like in KZN, we had someone, but I think in Eastern Cape we didn't have. And when we look at the issues clearly, we need the responses of national treasurer. I don't, maybe it could be this IGFR team that the CPG is referring to. But what I'm saying is we have got a lot of work in front of us, honorable members. I hope that also from the treasurer side, the issues that we also raised, salary has taken into account, especially with reference to the ACD program of the education. But it's clear that we need to have some more conversation with the National Treasury. People were raising issues of perpetual, what we call it, understanding.
Saying now, small amount, 2%, and you are expecting the 2% comes out in terms of rent and terms to be a big amount of money. A lot of issues that were raised in terms of monitoring transfers and subsidies. So, but the issue is that we need to, perhaps that the committee need to assist with, is how do we take this budget forward? There's nothing stopping us from inviting a department if we so wish. But there's really nothing stopping us to deal specifically with this. The question that the Honorable Speaker raised is about what are the other colleagues saying? Do they know what is happening here? You'll remember that sometimes we have invited other portfolio committees to join us. Others have been able to attend. Others, maybe due to the tight programs, that have not been able to attend. Sometimes I don't think that it's our report or this report. But it's an important question that all the committees should have access to this report. And I think that now they are required to do some to report on quarterly, what you call it, to do quarterly reports on the committees. So, but I would like us to adjourn at this stage, and as we do that, perhaps members, tomorrow we have a meeting. Initially, tomorrow's meeting, we were supposed to have a joint meeting, as requested by the Portfolio Committee on Energy. But that meeting has been postponed, so it will not take place. But tomorrow's meeting, the meeting itself, that meeting, that part of the meeting will not take place. But we have to draft a report on the committee within this on oversighting to KZN and to KZK. That needs to be adopted, and I think that minutes have been distributed, as for those minutes, if we could just go through and we cut them tomorrow. We haven't adopted minutes for a long time. And would like to thank Sadali for coming.
good, good. Criticized by the members, and then they went to the minutes, but those were distributed previously to the members.
Otherwise, they were supposed to bring some to the nation.
Yes, they were supposed to report back on this one. To give them the go ahead to do this next step and to appoint consultants and remember the same thing. We need to get this passed by the end of the year. What's going on here? So they gave them some instructions.
Sure.
Beat them on the head a bit. Presented. The others were handed out. So they're there and they've got names on them. But no one spoke to them.
Okay, sure.
You can just have them in the press.
All right. Yes, it's there. Okay, sure. Holly, you didn't write on top of your documents. Hmm?
Or check with the ANC. He used to be on this committee.
see the name of the